Hello, you're listening to Tax Talk, a podcast series from the Irish Tax Institute which explores current issues in the world of taxation. I'm your host, Samantha McCochran. So around this time every year, the Institute elects a new president, and here to talk to me today is Tom Reynolds, who will shortly take his place as the president of the Institute. Tom is Vice President of Tax, M&A and Business Restructuring at Schneider Electric and has over 25 years experience working in senior tax roles in industry. Now, you're very welcome here today, Tom. So just as an introduction to the members, can you tell us a little bit about why you chose a career in tax?
Thanks, Samantha. I always had an interest in maths and accounting in secondary school, and I decided I wanted to do accountancy. I grew up in Carrick and Shannon and decided I would apply for the commencement course in Sligo Regional Technical College. And at the time, I developed a strong interest in tax, and I trained in a small firm in Sligo town, which was great because it covers all topics from audit to tax, accounting, etc. So it gave me a broad scope of what I was really interested in. And in the end, I decided I wanted to do tax.
And, you know, as you say, you see all life in a small firm. How did you develop them? Because you did actually, you have spent your career in industry and some really big name companies as well. So how did you go from work, you know, your training in a small firm to working for some of the biggest, you know, names out there? In certainly some of the biggest names in Ireland, for example, Kerry, is that where you did time in Kerry? Yeah. One of our big that success stories.
That was my first job in industry. What happened was when I finished my tax and accounting exams, I decided I wanted to do an MBA. So I went to the University of Ulster to do an MBA. And by chance, I got talking to somebody from Kerry, and they were looking for somebody for tax. So I applied, and I was down 2 days later, and then I had a job. So it was great. For me, it was a great experience because it was a large organization that was growing and doubling in size every 5 years. I think the opportunity I got and the experience was huge. I think sometimes it was very challenging because I was thrown into a lot of international tax, which I didn't have really much experience of. And also, Kerry did a huge number of M&A deals, which was very exciting and did give me a lot of opportunity. And I became the head of tax probably 2 years after joining.
It really is a rare opportunity to grow with a company like that. So as you say, it was probably gave you a whole new set of skills that maybe in another big company you wouldn't have got. But it gave you opportunities to work in other international companies. So where was your next stop after Kerry?
After Kerry, I moved to Kellogg. And I think the skill sets I gained in Kerry was tremendous because you developed a deep knowledge of tax, but also in the sense is you built a very strong relationship with the business and you understood the strategy, which from a tax perspective, the strategy is very linked. So I moved to Kellogg's and I took on a broader role. I went into I was responsible for tax for Europe, and I also took on pensions and treasury and then statutory reporting. And then after about 3.5 years there, I moved into a more finance role as a finance director, in which I was responsible for setting up the Centre of Excellence that they had here in Dublin.
Okay, and then obviously the next stop was Schneider then?
Yes. So I was looking for, I suppose, a more global, larger organisation, and Schneider were looking for somebody to take responsibility for transfer pricing and the M&A activity. So I applied and I was successful, and I've been with them 11 years. And during that time, I took on more responsibility. I'm also responsible for the Greater India region, which really came about as a result of some M&A transactions. And it's been a great experience. I think looking at the three organizations, what you have is you're exposed to very different cultures and how people think. It's quite interesting, and it just broadens your scope. And I think within these roles, what's great about industry is that it gives you an opportunity to travel and experience different cultures. So I think that's, for me, has been one of the huge benefits in terms of understanding these organizations and working very closely with them. I think one of the key skills is that you need to be a very effective business partner, that you can convert tax technical knowledge into layman's English.
But it is one of the advantages of being in tax in Ireland, I suppose, that we do have so many big global companies with key operations here. So is it an opportunity for people who are interested in getting that global tax experience, the fact that we have so many businesses with headquarters or EMEA headquarters here?
It's a huge opportunity for people. I think one of the real advantages for me was that when you're in practice, you give advice, You never see it from the start to the implementation to the actually end result. And I think that's a brilliant experience you get in industry, is that if you're doing a transaction, you're involved from the pre-offer to the closing to the integration. For me, from my perspective, I'm also responsible for kind of understanding the global TP rules, transfer pricing rules, and how they should be implemented across our organization. So it's a great opportunity to understand the broader aspects of tax and its complexity.
And how close are you to the big decision making then? I mean, it sounds like you're involved in like several key aspects of the business. So do you get quite close to the center of all that decision making then?
I think what's very important is when you look at a business, tax is very important. It's part of the strategy of the business, because when you make decisions, if you're, for example, if you're entering a new market, or if you're acquiring or disposing of a company, or if you're setting up a transfer pricing policy, you need to have tax aligned with the strategic intent of the business. And that's where you do get to understand the business in a lot more ways. And also within that, you work very closely with the other functions. So you effectively become a very strong trusted advisor within the industry.
And have you learned a lot about, you know, you mentioned cultural differences there. The idea of working in tax in India is sort of fascinating. It just seems very different to what we're used to here and probably in Europe. I mean, is it as different as it might seem from the outside, or are there, you know, similarities or, you know, common ground or parallels to some of the stuff you've kind of experienced back home?
I would say that each culture is different. I think they have a different way of thinking and doing things. And I think once you can adjust and understand that, you can work very well with the teams in each country. And I think that's what's important, that you have to be able to adjust to how you interact with your teams, etc., because you need to understand their way of thinking sometimes, and you need to step back and say, this is what's driving this and this is what you need to do.
Okay, and you're obviously very closely involved with the Institute and have been for some years. So how did you become involved in the Institute and, you know, obviously play quite a central role over the years?
I became a member in, or not a member, I became a council member in 2008. It was through Joan O'Connor, who was a past president, and she was keen to get somebody involved from industry because there had been no people involved from pure industry. So I joined in 2008, and I was, you know, I was on the committee for members in industry and then a number of other committees. And then also with the Institute, they do great work on doing submissions. So from a tax perspective, I've been involved with a lot of those in relation to international tax and currently in Pillar 2 and BEPS, etc.
And that brings us on to like a lot of interesting topics we want to talk about, because you're taking over as president in a time of a huge change for Ireland and, you know, tax globally. So as you say there, you know, the Pillar 2 is a huge one. How do you think big businesses are going to react to global minimum, the minimum rate? You know, it's coming down the track so fast, something that's been talked about for so many years. And we're going to see quite a bit of change here in Ireland in the short term.
Indeed, there's been a lot of change over the last decade. When you look at it, we had BEPS, the 15-step plan. Then we've had, effectively, now we have Pillar 2 and Pillar 1. We've had Brexit. We had a lot of change in the US tax regime, which brought in a lot of new rules that come into play, for example, BEAT. And I think what, I suppose, with the change in to the minimum tax rate, what I would say is businesses are reacting well, because it's been out there for a long time. So businesses are aware, and they've adjusted, and they've had time to adjust it. And I think it's the same for, you know, governments as well. But I think when we look at it, Pillar 2 needs some time for it to be fully implemented, because it's very complex. And I think if you look at it in terms of the touch points of where you get the data, you could be talking up to 1,000 touch points to get that data. And I suppose what I would say is that Pillar 2, it's not just a tax issue, it's also working with the accounting HR teams, modifying the systems, because to get that data, you have to do a lot of work. And I think from various studies that have come out, you can see that maybe 40 to 60% of the data is readily available, and that the other 40 or 60% has to be extracted from different systems, some manual, etc. So there's a huge amount of work that needs to be done in terms of gathering and collecting that information. And there has been some helping changes that have come into play that will help industry, But I think as well, what we've got to remember is that there's going to be some uncertainty because we've got a number of countries who haven't come out and implemented any changes for Pillar 2, for example, India, China. Then within the US, we've got complexity because it isn't enacted in their law, and we wait and see for the next tax reform when it will happen.
Would you have concerns about some of the pushback that we're seeing in the US? How dependent are we in making this work by having the US on board? Is there a bit of a nervousness there about the US position? And we're coming up to election time. It could be changed. We could be back to something we were experienced not so long ago in terms of a Trump presidency potentially. So what do you think? Does that add to the whole uncertainty in the mix, or are you kind of confident it'll come right in the end?
No, I think it's going to be uncertain. I think we're in the current environment is very uncertain with what's happening throughout the world, and I think that what it will mean is that we're going to have uncertain positions. For example, you know what I mean? If we don't have alignment from these countries, what we're going to have is we're going to have more revenue audits, and I think how that's dealt with is going to be critical because it's going to put a lot more pressure on organisations. And you know, even with the current implementation of Pillar 2, there's a large compliance cost to meet the requirements. So I think what we're going to see is we're going to have a period of uncertainty, and we're probably going to have a lot more disputes happening. And I think that's going to be critical that we're prepared for that.
And what do you mean when you say disputes? Is that different countries disagreeing on things, or is it more corporate level disagreements, or what kind of?
I think there will be some. If some countries haven't implemented it, then how do you deal with that situation? And also, I think as well, the big challenge will be is that you're going to have questions raised on audits, which are we clear on how relief is given and how it all interacts with each other? I think the key from an Irish perspective is when we do have the legislation, it needs to be kept simple and easy to understand, which is a huge challenge.
So in terms of then what we can do to retain multinational businesses, I mean, you touched on a few things there. You know, I suppose for many years, the question was put to multinationals, how important is the 2.5% tax rate? And we'll have a fairly clear picture of it in the coming years, I suppose. But, you know, is there a lot more we can do? Or, you know, are we quite hamstrung in the opportunities to, you know, offer incentives, given that we're living in a new world with sort of I guess a more even playing field?
I think, Samantha, when we look at that, I think business prefers certainty in how they operate. I think we should be adopting a simplified approach. For example, moving to a territorial system is key, and introducing the participation exemption in Ireland. And this will be welcomed by companies. And the result of that, it would free up resources as well and remove some of the complexities. And I think also from a business perspective, we need to relook at our capital gains tax position, because we have a very high rate at 33%, and we have no indexation, which again is an extra cost. And in comparison to our peers in other countries, we're very high, and I don't think changing it will make a huge amount to the exchequer. I think also, well, for me, one of the big areas that we need to look at is innovation and our global ranking. I think we've dropped in our global ranking, and I think that we need to improve our level of innovation that we have. And I think by changing the R&D tax credit system, that can bring that benefit in and increase our spend, because we can educate the SMEs, we can extend it, and we can also look at simplifying it, but also in terms of we potentially can change it slightly in terms of we could bring some process improvement as a qualifying R&D activity, which would be very good because, you know, it would help us with our carbon emission side. I think that would be very helpful for small SMEs, because they need some incentivization for this, because, you know, a lot of them are very small and they haven't got what large multinationals have in terms of support. And that's going to be critical too.
So the question comes back to, what can we do to foster our own indigenous sectors, make SMEs, become more sustainable? And the big one that we look at is the likes of Kerry, which you worked for. I mean, why aren't we getting those big employers like Kerry and growing them on our own shores here?
I think what I look at it is we've probably got to collaborate more closely with our Indigenous companies and the SMEs, and we've got to assist them in terms of how they grow and grow their exports, and that they're developing a much more sustainable way of doing business. And again, it comes back to we need to encourage innovation and entrepreneurship. And I think some of the reliefs that we have in play are really not fit for purpose, and we've got to make changes to those so that we can encourage a lot more investment in entrepreneurial skills and development that can happen in Ireland. I think Ireland is a great country with very highly educated people. I think we've got to look as well at our cost base. I think when people are looking to come to Ireland, it's difficult because of housing, etc. It makes it a bit more complex, and we've got to look at some of these issues because we really got to put ourselves back up and to show that we are a country who is very open to inward investment, which we are, but we've got to make that through simplifications, and we've got to make it through incentives that we can actually help companies to grow and develop.
And an interesting point you touched on there was the climate change. And, you know, a lot of international weather events or whatever you want to call them, but, you know, it is something that's not going away anytime soon. What kind of role does tax have in helping sustainability become a key part of the agenda and also supporting businesses? Because, you know, it's not something any one business or any one sector can do on its own. As you say there, it is all about kind of collaboration and coming together. So what can tax do to help the sustainability agenda?
I think what we can do, when we look at sustainability for a lot of companies at the top of their agenda, and I think we clearly see that as when we look at investors looking at companies and we look at employees and potential graduates, they're very focused on how sustainable a company is. I think within that, there is an area where incentives should be created that we can address decarbonisation and energy efficiency. And again, in looking at that, I think, do you know what I mean? We're an island. We've got some great resources. We can push our green agenda very strong. And that's what we've got to look at some of these things. And it would also help us achieve our decarbonisation targets as well.
And going back to that whole discussion about global companies and your experience there, how much is that of importance now to the international, multinational sector? Is sustainability and how countries are dealing with that becoming more important now?
I think it's become much more important. I think it's on the top of everyone's agenda as to how to decarbonize. I work for an organization where sustainability is critical, and we're an energy management company. It's all about how you make energy more efficient and more effective, and that you can get your clients to become carbon neutral.
And another topic which has been getting pushed to the centre of agendas has been the diversity and inclusion discussion. In terms of tax, are there enough women? Are there enough other minority groups being, you know, made feel part of the profession? And do you think there's more that can be done on that front?
I think it's interesting to watch. For me, where I work is we have a 50-50 or probably more women than men. So it's interesting to see that. I think as well with the pandemic, what we see is more flexibility coming within organisations. So that has led to some changes as well. And I think organisations are very focused on that and trying to bring equal representation of men and women and encouraging the minority interest as well.
In terms of what's coming next for the profession, AI has been a huge topic, met with, I think, a lot of fear, mostly among workers and people in several sectors are wondering, how will it affect me? What do you think yourself? Is that an area where you see much change, or is it still going to come down to humans and individuals' ability to make things work?
It's an interesting one, because when I look back, I discovered today I wanted to make sure I qualified 30 years this year. And when I started working, we didn't have email, we didn't have mobile phones, and the tax returns were prepared manually. Since then, there has been a huge change of utilization. And this was very evident during the pandemic and as to how quickly companies could adopt and change. And I think we're going to see a lot more of that. And I think when we look at AI and we see AI and the use of the cloud and the ability to collect data and analyze it, and also being able to visualize that, the output I see will change dramatically over the next 3 to 5 years. I think the chartered tax advisor role will have a limited focus on compliance, as it will be much more real time. And what we'll see is becoming a much more strategic advisor to the businesses, and where they will become a very much more trusted business partner.
Do you think that's one of the biggest challenges for the professional in terms of how you do your work, or do you envisage other changes coming for tax professionals down the line?
I think there will be changes coming down the line. I think there will be a focus. I think tax as a career is very interesting. I think that you cover an awful lot of topics and you're exposed to all levels of the business and senior management, and you work very closely with other functions. That's my perspective from an industry perspective. And when I look at it, I think that's going to continue. I think when we look at all of the changes that has happened and what is happening, there's going to be a huge level of work to be done in Pillar 2. That's going to keep a lot of us tax professionals employed for a while. I think what you'll see is that there will be a change away from kind of a compliance focus to this more strategic approach where you work with the business, which I think is exciting and going to be very interesting. And, you know, it's a great opportunity for anybody who's considering a career in tax at this point in time.
Just to round up, what's your view overall then? Are you reasonably optimistic, but we need to play our part? Is that how you see it?
I think we need to play our part. I think we have to be careful, because with globalization and digitalization, and when we see people are remote working, it's very easy then to move your business and change how you do business. And I think we've seen that in terms of the pandemic, how things changed so quickly and how companies reacted. And I think that's where we've got to really look at what we do in Ireland. And I keep coming back to it, maybe that we need to look at how we simplify our complexity, and how do we encourage these companies, you know, in terms of the changes that we can make. But we also need to very much focus on what we're very good at, which is innovation. And we've got to develop that further to get back our ranking. And we've also got to look at how we encourage our SMEs to grow and develop. I think that, you know, if we lose some in A and we gain some in B, I think there's going to be some change. But I think that we just need to be a lot more proactive in terms of how we approach our businesses, especially given what we can see other countries are doing.
Well, thank you very much for joining us, Tom Reynolds, new president of the Institute. That's it for this episode of Tax Talk.
Thank you very much.